This morning's first scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Our second reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. The first commandment. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
As some of you know, I took 17 of our senior high youth to Silver Lake 2 weekends ago for a retreat. The theme of this retreat was, "God is love and so are we." The theme was divided into 3 parts, love for God, love for neighbor, and love for ourselves. We talked about the meaning and implications of God is love in between sliding down snow hills, eating too many Doritos, and playing apples to apples. It was a wonderful weekend. Now, as I described this theme to them that Friday night when we arrived, I could almost hear the groans. First church might sound like a broken record. God is love. We are love. God loves us. Love, we seem to talk about it every Sunday. Not a bad message to sell. In fact, that is what today's scripture readings are all about. God's infinite, unfailing love for us. In the first chapter of Genesis, we hear one of the creation stories, the event on the sixth day when God created humans. Say what you will and debate away about what the meaning of the creation story is, but I believe that there are 2 indisputable truths in this creation story. Number 1, God created us. And number 2, God created us good. We are good. God made us. What beautiful, clear, and profound truths. And these truths undergird the reality that not only did God create us, but God loves us an infinite amount and loves us unconditionally. In the second scripture reading we heard today from the Gospel of Mark, scribes asked Jesus which commandment is the most important. The story tells that Jesus responded with a two-part answer. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We have all heard these commandments, and we know that the command to love is not always easy to follow. Sometimes it feels impossible. The focus of my sermon today highlights a crucial part of Jesus' commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. That last part is our focus this morning, as yourself. That's right, we're talking about this beautiful love to which God calls us, the call to love yourself. I feel like it's something we don't necessarily hear a lot traditionally in church. We may hear it on Oprah or Dr. Phil or the cover of Teen Life or from the mouth of your therapist. But what we hear typically from these outlets, I'd argue, is a sort of two-dimensional, surfacey kind of love. To love yourself, to have self-confidence, or you're beautiful just the way you are. But I understand the call of the gospel to love yourself to be fundamentally different from these suggestions. It is the call to have radical love for yourself, knowing that each of us is made in the image and likeness of God. And if you need any evidence, all you need to do is open the scriptures. All throughout the Bible, there is a central theme of love. And as we heard from the first chapter of Genesis, God created us inherently good. We heard it proclaimed today in our call to worship, copied from Psalm 139, which sings, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "Do not fear, I have called you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." And as we know from the famous Godspell song inspired by the Gospel of Matthew, "You are the light of the world." For me, the most compelling way that God shows us this truth is in the incarnation, when God became one of us in Christ. Jesus was fully human as well as fully divine. And in order to fully unite God's self with us, Jesus came to us through a woman, entering into the world as a baby. And he did this intimate act of saving us and showing us how to live and love because God created us and loves us. At the Senior High Fellowship retreat, during the time in which we talked about God's call to love ourselves, we did an activity where we all spent time writing down on a piece of construction paper one quality we love about ourselves. Sitting in our cabin at Silver Lake, listening to the fire of the wood stove crackle, surrounded by peers and advisors, we all wrote down something we love about ourselves. Not something other people say we like about us, but something that you love. Once we completed the task, we put the pieces of paper face down in a pile in the center of the room, and then we each took from the pile and taped each other's self-affirmations all around the cabin. I personally found this to be such a powerful activity, to reach inside yourself, being reminded that you are loved both by God and this community, to affirm your inherent goodness. They wrote, "I love my creativity. I love that I can do more push-ups than most guys. I love my personality. I love how I love. I love my sense of humor. I love how I can take nothing and make it into something great. I love that I can stay positive. I love that I don't take myself too seriously. I love when I'm able to make other people smile or laugh." To claim one's love for oneself is to live out Jesus' call to love your neighbor as yourself. In that call, Jesus challenges us, invites us to recognize that we are made in God's image. Now, some of you may be thinking, aren't we in the selfie generation? Aren't these kids or millennials just really thinking about themselves anyway, with all their Snapchats and Instagrams? And admittedly, yes, narcissism seems to have overtaken our society and the basic belief in the common good. But I personally don't believe that high schoolers are the ones committing the biggest sins of self-obsession these days. And those of you who are in high school, or who are parents or teachers or caregivers of our youth, probably know and remember that this time in a person's life isn't always a joyride. For me, my time as an adolescent was filled with only fleeting convictions that God made me good and whole. And much of the time, I felt the complete opposite about myself. While I can claim that it certainly got a bit easier as I grew up, those nagging feelings of insecurity, that voice that tells you you're just not good enough, they never fully go away, always popping up from time to time. And that's a part of living in a broken world. Whether you're living with a mental health issue, you really messed up and you desire forgiveness, or you just woke up on the wrong side of the bed, it's not an easy task to love our whole selves. It's that we sometimes need to be reminded to lift up the often taken for granted yet integral part of loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving all your parts, your flaws, your shortcomings, sins and blemishes. God loves all of you. When Jesus proclaims that there isn't just one law, but two great commandments to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, this recognition of our interdependence is what separates the gospel from the self-help section at Barnes & Noble. The gospel reminds us of the importance of beloved community. The crucial need for community to remind us of that love when we've forgotten. That to love God and your dear neighbor as yourself is to lean on others when we feel low and to reach out to others when they are struggling. Our own thriving is directly connected to the thriving of others. As I heard at a recent rally I attended for immigrants and refugee rights in West Hartford, when one of us is hurting, we are all hurting. It's not enough to advocate just for your own thriving, but it is necessary to fight for the well-being of all. This is our scriptural tradition. Some of you know that part of my ordination process, I'm taking a class right now at Yale Divinity School down in New Haven once a week. This class is on the United Church of Christ history and polity. Some of the things I'm learning about our denomination is that it has a very long history of affirming the goodness of humanity and acknowledging the gifts and calls of all people. Although the UCC is a relatively young denomination, the traditions that make up this denomination are not. In the congregational tradition alone, there are numerous historical examples of being a progressive voice in a society that's filled with racism, sexism, and homophobia. In 1773, a member of Old South Church in Boston, Phyllis Wheatley, became the first African-American author to be published. In 1785, the Congregationalist ordained its first African-American pastor, Lee Manuel Hayes, who was a prolific preacher and helped sow the seeds of the abolitionist movement. In 1853, a congregational church in New York ordained the first woman to ordain ministry, Antoinette Brown. Fast forward to the 20th century, the United Church of Christ ordained the first openly gay minister, William R. Johnson. Today, we hear our denomination speaking out on behalf of refugees, immigrants, the trans community, and among others. And these are just some of the many examples of our church listening to our still-speaking God who calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Of course, there's always more work to do, in the world, in our homes, and in our congregation. It's often overwhelming not knowing where to start our work. This morning, I suggest that we start with ourselves. We can start by reminding ourselves and each other that each of us is made in the image and likeness of God. To close, I invite you all to participate in the activity I did with the Senior High Fellowship. In your bulletins, you will find a small colored sheet of paper, and I encourage you to write, like our high school youth did, one thing you love about yourself. It's a small but simple gesture to remind yourself that you are loved, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, you are created by God, and God made you good and whole. When you are finished, I hope that you will place your self-affirmation in the offering basket when it goes by. And today, along with your monetary gifts, you will be offering your whole selves up to God. Amen.